Okay, so we're on Daf Pehei tonight. So I'm going to begin on. We are up to around the seventh line. It says, or a sixth line. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua. So the Gemara says, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, Iklau Lehinsevu. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna, they're like the visiting chachamim. They come to this place Hinsevu, but the Bach says it should be Sheikhansu, or there's a Sheikhan Siv in the Gemara, this town. So anyway, they come to this town. La'atri Dravidi Barabin. Dravidi Barabin is the rabbi in the town, and they're the visiting Chachamim. Baumi Nahu. So the people asked the two visitors, i.e. Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Yeshua, who's doing Sheirot Lina Siddha Psula and Olo? Or Sheirot, and here we discussed this yesterday, Sheirot, welcome. So Sheirot means Benot Kohen. So we're on Pehei Amud Aleph. We just began, okay? Pehei Amud Aleph. Around the eighth line. So we said that these two chachamim, i.e. Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Yeshua, came to a town which the Bach says is Sheikhan Tzvu, and Rav Idi Baravin was the rav in the town. So the people asked the chachamim, the two the visitors, who's Ruk Sherli Nasid Psu and Olo? Our Ksherim means our Benot Kohen admonished that they can't marry Psulim. In other words, we know a Kohen. We discussed this last night. We know a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalala. So can a Bat Kohen marry a Chalal? In other words, a man could be a Chalal. In other words, let's say his father was a Kohen, his mother was a Grusha, so he's a Chalal. So can a Bat Kohen marry, in other words, is it reciprocal? In other words, just like the Kohen can't marry certain people, so is the Bat Kohen also admonished in that way? So that's what they asked them. So Amar Lehu Rav Papa, this is around the 10th line. So Rav Papa said to the people, coming to him. You know, fortunately, we learned the answer to this question in a Mishnah Masechet Kiddushin, which is coming up in Daf Yomi in about 8 months. It says, Asara Yuchsin Alubi Babel, 10 Yuchsin, which means like social groups, social castes, made Aliyah from Babel to Eretz Israel in the time that Ezra is so fair. And who are the 10? Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, that we know, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Halalim, Halal means like the Kohen who is like, you know, the result of a forbidden union. Geirim, a convert. Harurim are freed slaves who also have a din of a geir. Umam Zerim, you know what Umam Zerim are, like the product of a forbidden union. Etinim are the Givonim, who are prohibited, you know, Midrabanan from entering Klal Yisrael. Shtuki Vasufi, who we'll hear more about in Kedushin. Shtuki is that he doesn't know who his father is. A Sufi, you don't know which he the parent is, and there's a Kashash of Umam Zeris. So that's the preamble to the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, Lutonim Lozebazes. So the first three social groups, i.e., Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, can intermarry one with another, although we learned last night, if you remember, that a Kohen Lechatchila should marry a Bat Kohen. Levim, then we move down a notch. So leave Kohanim out of the equation. Levim Yisraelim, Lechalalim, Gerim Charurim, Lutonim Lozebazes. So the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 can intermarry one with another. A Lady Yisrael, a Chalal, Gerim a Ger, and Harurim means an Ebed that's an Ebed Kanani, that's freed, who has a din of a Ger, they can intermarry one with another. And proceeding right along, Gerim, Harurim, Mamzerim, Netini, Shtuki, Vasufim, a Ger, and Haruri is the freed slave, Mamzerim, Netinim, Shtuki, Vasufi, again, means the Netinim, who you know, can come with Kahal, and the Shtuki, Vasufi is a Chashash, Mamzerus, so Mutar, Levo, Zebazet, they can all intermarry with one another. So it means the Ger is not, you know, prohibited from marrying the moms there. Okay, so that's the end of the quote from the Mishnah. So we're trying to figure out, is a Bat Kohen, is she prescribed from marrying Chalal or not? So the Mishnah doesn't mention that Benot Kohen can marry Chalalim, so presumably they can't. In other words, the Mishnah is mentioning who could do. So with the Chalal, we had who the Chalal can marry, right? We had like on the line with the Gimel, the Bimis Shen Chalal and Gerim Harubi doesn't say anything about Benot Kohen. So this is Rav Papa saying, so Mistama, the Benot Kohen are prohibited from marrying Chalal. So Amalei Rav Huna Brei Yeshua, so Rav Huna Brei Yeshua, who was the other visiting Chacham, said, he says, no, that's not the Pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah means, what do you have, Torah Shabbat Path?
Last chapter.
Oh, why don't you get a Gemara from downstairs? Right now. So he says, Kol hecha dahani nasvi mihani, bani nasvi mihani katani. So he says the Mishnah is only listing where the Kohen, in other words, if both Kohenim and the female Kohenim can marry, then he lists. In other words, the Kohenim can marry and they can marry the women. The women can marry the other people. There the Tana teaches it. Kohen, Kevon, the Ilu by the Mins of Kalala, Sirelei, this the Kohen is definitely prescribed for marrying the Kalala. So he says, Lo Katani. So in other words, it could be he's saying that they are permitted to marry a Kalal, but here the Mishnah is only mentioning something that both the men and the women could marry. In other words, if men and the women are allowed to marry, he lists it. Otherwise, he doesn't list it. So here, the Kohenim, who are the men, they definitely cannot marry a Kalala. So he doesn't mention that the Bat Kohen can marry a Kalal, but it could be that they could. Let's see just a few more lines in the Gemara. So Akhtu Temi Rabbi Baravin. So then, subsequently, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rabbi Yeshua came before Rabbi Baravin. Amar Lahu, he's the rabbi of the town. So Amar Lahu, so Rabbi Baravin said to them, Dardaki, children, he says, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav. This is what Rabbi Yehuda says, the name of Rav, Lohus Ruk Sheirot Lina Seidu Psulim. Indeed, Sheirot, but no Kolein, are not admonished not to marry the Psulim. So they do have a green light to marry the Psulim. Okay. Let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So the topic we're discussing is a Bat Kohen. Is she admonished not to marry people that a Kohen can't marry, or the male equivalent of the people that the Kohen can't marry? For example, you know, the Kohen can't marry a Gioret, right? It's also prohibited to a Kohen, and Kohen can't marry a Chalala. So is a Bat Kohen, is she prohibited from marrying a Chalala? Is she permitted from marrying a Gioret? So the Gemara wanted to say first the diuk that they are prohibited, but so the Gemara says no, they're not prohibited. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? What's up, Shaya?
Have a listing of groups married. They take freed slaves twice, though. Different groups?
No. Where did they say twice?
Okay, the Levim, Yisraelim, Chalalim, Gevim, Meharo, Ovim.
Wait. Start again. So you hear the gimel, right? So Levim Yisrael Kalam Gerim Charum Mutar Mizabzeb, right? Okay. No. In other words, he's saying it's like different circles of people who can intermarry. So it could be repeated twice. In other words, in the first group, Levim Yisrael Kalam Gerim Charum, they can intermarry one another. The second group is Gerim Charum Mamzer and Kinnish Kikum Supi can marry with one another. So it means if you're a chavrurei, which means you're a freed slave, so you can intermarry with the first group, and you can intermarry with the second group. All right, okay, everybody good. Otherwise, what's up, Rafi?
Do you have
any
special privileges or anything?
Well, again, Yosef was saying, so when she's living in her father's house, she can eat the truma, and she can also eat like the chazei b'shok and things like that. Then she gets married. So again, there are different dinim. So if she gets married, let's say to Yisrael, then it terminates. But then if the marriage terminates to the Yisrael and she doesn't have any kids, she goes back to her father's house. Right, that's true. Or in other words, a Bat Kohen or Bat Levi, if they have a first son, there's no mitzvah pidyon ben for them. Okay. All right. So let's see back on the Gemara. Right. In other words, we would expect. In other words, it doesn't say that a Bat Kohen can marry Chalala. The Bat Kohen can marry Chalala. Right. So it doesn't. So that's what the Gemara is saying. It only mentions where the men and the women are, you know, both the same. But if it's not that way, he doesn't mention it. All right. Let's see back at the Gemara. We're at the two dots. Okay. So Shmuel Midibrei Sofer Makuli. So if you remember in Mishnah we did yesterday, so we said that. The Mishnah yesterday mentioned, you know, certain marriage situations where the woman is permitted to the husband, prohibited to the Yavam, or prohibited to the husband, permissible to the Yavam, or prohibited to both, or permissible to both. So then the Mishnah went on to describe Shniot Midibri Sofrim. Shniot Midibri Sofrim are on a derisive level, there are certain people you're not allowed to have relations with, like a sister, a mother, a daughter. But then on a derabanan level, there are more people you're prohibited having relations with, like a grandmother, like your son's daughter-in-law, your daughter's daughter-in-law. Those are all shniyot. So I'm prohibited on a derabanan level. So the Mishnah said that if you're a shniyot lebal and not a shniyot liabam, in other words, if, let's say, we're talking about Yibam situation. So if Reuven is husband number one, if Reuven marries somebody that's prohibited to him on a derabanan level, it was, let's say, Reuven marries his son's daughter-in-law, you know, and obviously she's no longer married to the grandson or whatever, and then he dies, so then it's not a Shnei Liyavam. The brother is not included with that. So it's a Sur Labal Mutar Liyavam. So she'd be prohibited to the husband, but be permissible to the Yavam. Anyway, the Gemara went through different encounters with this. So the Gemara says back in the Gemara, Shnei Liyavam Sefer Chulei, Dubal Minei B'nei B'rei N'Rav Sheshet, Shnei Labal V'lo Shnei Liyavam. Let's say a woman is a Shnei Labal. And that's for the husband, number one, Reuven, she's prohibited on a Drabanan level. But for the, and then he dies. He's out of the situation. And now Shimon is doing Yibam with her. But she's not a Shnei for Shimon. She's not prohibited to Shimon at all. So Yeshak Ketubim Yavam Alo. Does she have a Ketubah from Yavam or not? Now we learned from the Mishnah as well that the Shniyot forfeit the right to a Ketubah. In other words, if you're a Shnei, you forfeit the right to Ketubah because the whole purpose of a Ketubah is to take Kal Be'inav Lagarsha. It shouldn't be easy for the husband to divorce the wife. He's got to pay a whole plonk of money. Here we want them to divorce. We want the marriage to end. So let's say she was married to Reuven but prohibited to Reuven. So regardless of whatever they entered into, she has no right to the super from Reuven. But now Reuven's dead. Now she's Shimon does Yibum with her. So does she have a right to Ksuba from Shimon? Says Kaman to Amar Mark to the Talmud Sebala Rishon Leitla. Since we have a statement in the Gemara, it means by a regular Yibum situation, the wife, the widow, has to look to the estate of the first husband for a ksuba. In other words, in a regular Yibum situation, not this situation. So husband, the Shimon does Yibum with Rachel, so Rachel has to, and then that marriage terminates through the death of Shimon or divorce. So then Rachel has to look to the estate, Reuven's estate, to collect her ksuba. So he says, so again, so Kevan da Marmor, to the Talmud Sebala Rishon, late law. So do we say, since she has to look to the first estate, the first husband, she has no ksuba from the first husband, so she has no ksuba, that's one way. Oh, Dilma, even Dilu late law, Mirisho, Tila Rabbanami Shani, or maybe you say like this, where it has, again, a regular situation. If the first husband doesn't have enough assets to support the ksuba, then she can collect from the second husband in a regular Yibam situation. So maybe in this situation, she does have a ksuba. She was prohibited to the first husband, but she's permissible to the second husband. That's the question. So Amar Lehu Rav Sheshet, so this is the question that they asked Rav Sheshet. Do they B-Ray? The people in B-Ray, that's the town, they asked Rav Sheshet. Remember, Rav Sheshet was blind. So the Amar Lehu Rav Sheshet said to them, Tani Tua, we learned the answer to this in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Tubatal Nesse Bala Rishon. Braisa says, again, the Braisa is terse, so we have to be patient with the Braisa. Tubatal Nesse Bala Rishon. The Ksuba, she looks at the first husband. But if she was a shnia, like a, you know, one of the prohibited marriage, even from the yavam she doesn't have. So this braisa seems mefurash, she's got no ksuba. But the Gemara wants to clean up the situation. So we've answered our question. So the Gemara says, since the braisa says, in other words, the braisa just said, that she has to look to the first husband. It means every yavama has to look to the first husband. So but then the Braisa says that if she's a Shnia, then she doesn't even have it from the second one. So it sounds like some people do have it from the second one. So it says, Mechlal, the Ikad Yavam Yavam. Now, how do we understand that? So the Gemara says, the story of Master Bahakitani. It's as if there are words missing in the Braisa, and this is the way we have to understand the Braisa. Tubatal Mesebala Rishon, her Ksuba means a great barn bride Yavama. She looks to the first husband for payment of his estate. The elate law may be shown, but if she there's no estate to collect the money from the first husband, takin law misheni. It's a coming established that she has a right to collect the suba from the second husband. It was the avo. But if she was a shnia for the Baal, which is the case we've been discussing in the Gemara, then even from the Yavam, she doesn't have it. Okay? So again, just to summarize, and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So we said, if a woman is a shnia, again, Reuven will be the first husband, and Shimon will be the Yavam. So if Rachel was married to Reuven, but Rachel was a forbidden relationship to Reuven, so they married against Halacha, so, and then Reuven dies, and Shimon does Yibam with her, so does Rachel have a ksuba from Shimon? From Reuven, she definitely doesn't have a ksuba, but does she have a ksuba from Shimon? So we said, on the one hand, look, she's got, you know, normally you look back to the first husband, and here there's nothing from the first husband. On the other hand, though, in a garden variety situation, the first husband doesn't have to pay the second husband, so maybe she does have something. So the Gemara concludes in the Brice that she's got nothing from either one. Okay, what's up, Yosef? Correct.
Why is
so it's true that the first marriage was prohibited at the Rabbanan level, but why should there not be Yibam in this situation? On a Daraisa level, they're husband and wife. And the Mitzvah of Yibam clicks on a Torah level. And there's no prohibition for her marrying Shimon. So in other words, like, what would you do? In other words, the thumb not okay the whole din of Yibam and Chalitza. Right, but now he's dead. Now it's discontinued. Now he's dead. Well, it's the Torah says the Mitzvah of Yibam and Chalitza. So on a Torah level, there is a Mitzvah of Yibam and Chalitza. So where do we go with this? All right. Daniel, let me turn it over. Go ahead.
If you're married to a person that asur to you, there is no ketuvah. But if
No. Wait. Right. We discussed this yesterday. We'll discuss more in a bit. Okay. We said it's the difference whether it's the Rais or the Rabbanan. In other words, if she's prohibited on a Rabbanan level, there's no ksuba. But if it's on a Rais level, there is a ksuba.
So the Rabbanan level, there is no ketuvah. But the brother is mutar. So the reason that we don't have the ketuvah because we really are not encouraging this marriage to stand.
Right.
But now with the brother, we do want it to stand. We want to marry her and stay married. We're not looking to dissolve the marriage.
Yeah, but
so based on that, it would have made sense.
Yeah, but
maybe you should get it.
Well, I mean, again, we discussed this earlier in the Gemara. In other words, the thing is, the Yibam is growing out of the first marriage. So to what extent do we just say, like, her rights are limited to what existed in the first marriage? That's really what it boils down to. Okay, what's up, Rafi? Then we got to move on. Well, he doesn't have to now. No. I mean, even if he does Yibam, he doesn't have to pay Ksuba. In other words, which case are you talking about? Right, so we just said that she has no right for the Ksuba, even against Shimon.
No matter what she
did. Yeah, so it's no harm, no foul.
So take a chance with her.
Okay. So I'm going on in the Gemara, okay? Okay. All right. So now, we're 20 lines from the bottom on Pehei Amud Aleph, okay? So, by me, Reb Lazar and Reb Yochanan. Reb Lazar posed the following question to Reb Yochanan. And Reb Lazar, we know, is Reb Lazar ben Pedat. Almana the Kohen Gadol, let's see, if an Almana who, you know, illegally marries the Kohen Gadol, we violate a law. He says, Grush Bakalutsa the Kohen Hedyot, or Grush Bakalutsa married a garden variety Kohen, Yesh Lahem Mizonot, Oein Lahem Mizonot. Now, do they have Mizonot? Now, in the Mishnah that we did yesterday, we said that if it's a Shnia, if it's prohibited on a Rabban level, so there's no Ketuba, no Peirot, no Mizonot, no Bilal. That we learned in the Furash. And then we learned that if it's a Daraisa, there's a Ketuba. So what about Mizonot? Mizonot is the right, you know, to sustenance, support. So if I have an Almana for Kohen, in other words, the Mishnah says she does have a Ketuba. So what about Mizonot? Mizonot is normally a right that's, you know, contained in the Ksuba. So does she have the right to Mizonot? So the here's what we're going to learn Mizonot. So the Gemara says, hey, Chidan, what's the case? So the Gemara says, if they're living together as husband and wife, we want them to get divorced. So would we say that she's entitled to Mizonot? We want to remove the inducement to stick around. We want to make it uncomfortable for them, not comfortable for them. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha shalachulam dinagam. The Gemara says, no, the case that we're asking about, the husband's not around. They're not living together. That's the way Rabbi Sobolovsky was saying today. The husband went off to the Belt of Rhine, like we'd say. He says, V'lav tova achla. And she borrowed a sum of money for her needs. so mine. So is that bill, you know, is the debt, you know, is that on his account or her account? So do we say mizonei tzai tubininu? So do we say the mizonot are ultimately a tzai tuba? The stipulation looks tuba that she's entitled to mizonot. So he says, so since we already established that she's the right to ksuba, so if she's just a right, like a bill for the mizonot, so she's entitled to it. O dilma, tuba to the mishkal and mepak itla. Or maybe it's like this. The ksuba, she's going to grab the money and leave. So that, you know, Gege says, hey, we're happy with that. He says, mizone, dilma ta'akiv gabe, like, well, maybe the mizonot, if we, you know, put this on his bill account, this whole cause her to stick around with this marriage longer, and maybe she doesn't have it. Anyway, this is the question that was propounded to Rav Yochanan by Rav Lazar. So Amalei, Rav Yochanan said back, late month. Rav Yochanan says, indeed, she's not entitled to the mizonot. So the Gemara says, Vatani Yeshla, but in another Brisa, in the Brisa, we learn that she is entitled to mizonot. So, Kitani Ahi La'afar Mita. Now, when that Brisa says the mizonot means, if Lu Yatsur, he dies, in other words, she was Amana to Kohen Gadol, or she was a Grusha to Kohen Hedyo. So we want them to get divorced. But if he dies, the husband dies, so then, under the terms of the Ksuba, she's entitled to the Mizonot. At that point, we would say that she can collect the Mizonot from the estate, because the marriage is terminated already, so then she does have the Mizonot. Just a few more lines. Ita Amar, then there's another version, that Amar Le Tanya Yefra, that Rabbi Yochanan really answered, the Bryce says she is entitled to mizonot. So the Gemara says, Hakadidi haba mor v'ho tzeikai, but we want them to get divorced. Yela ha tani yeshva, but there is yeshva, itani hi la afarmita, itani hi afarmita. So the Gemara right now is saying that she has mizonot, but it means mizonot if the husband dies, then she's got mizonot. But in other words, if it's during his lifetime, then we're not going to enforce her right to the mizonot because we want them her to scram and not stick around with this marriage.
Whether they're living together or
not, right. That's what the Gemara is saying. Who's got questions, comments to us on anything I did so far? Okay, me and Raphael, come in a minute. What's up? I don't know. I don't know. The Kohen, that's what he did. He went, you know, passion has a strange things with people, Rafi. He went off and he married the Almana. That's the case we're on. Okay, what's up, Daniel?
Once he dies,
I gotta tell you, there's worse with the Kohenim Gedolim. The Gemara learns that during some time by Cheney, the Kohenim were paying a plaque of money for the position, and then they were dying like flies. You know, so not the greatest people were Kohenim Gedolim. Okay, what's up?
So if the husband dies, you want her to still come get this or not? What is the rationale that she should at least impose? But she needs sustenance.
Yeah, right.
She needs reason not to give it to her.
In other words, the marriage is terminated. She has the right to the ksuba. The ksuba says she's entitled to the mizonot. So we're going to enforce it. We're going to give it to her. Okay, let's keep moving forward. Okay, and we're 6 lines from the bottom on Pei Hei and Olive. Okay, so Tanur Rabbanan, we learned the Brisa. Amana the Kohen Gadol. These are, you know, prohibited marriages. Yeshla ktuba, she has ksuba, this we discussed already, she has the right to ksuba. He says, peirot, it means she's entitled to peirot. It means if the husband consumed peirot from the nechsei milug and then decides to divorce her, so then she's entitled to compensation from the nechsei milug, the peirot that he consumed. And then mizonot, she's entitled to mizonot according to the brisa, though it might be subject to what we learned earlier. The laot, she's entitled to the worn out clothing. In other words, these were the things that the shnia was not entitled to. She's entitled to it. So blaot means it means that if she brought in clothing to the marriage and he wore them out, he has to compensate her for that which he wore out. And he has the old clothing there, he's got to give it back to her. The heap sula vlada pasul. But she, as a matter of halacha, is psula. So if she was an amana to a kohen gadol, since she had relations with him, she's psula to every kohen now. She can never marry a kohen. Uvlada pasul. Her offspring are pasul. So if she has a son, he's a halal. If a daughter would be a halala. He says, the kofinoto lahotzi. And we would force the husband to divorce her. Shniot, we did bring soprim. But if the marriage is shniot, that which is forbidden on a rabbinical level, ein la ksuba, she has no ksuba. And we'll have to explain that. We explain what no ksuba. He says low payrot, non payrot, low mizonot, blah blah. The heap shera, but in that case, she's shera. In other words, she was married to somebody forbidden to her on a rabbinic level, but nothing, no taint, you know, attaches to her or to him. Uvlada kasher, and the vlad is also totally kasher. He says, "Bekofen oto lohotzi," would also force that husband to divorce her. Okay, that's the end of the brayse. Not the end of the brayse. That's one second. Let's be patient. I'm Reb Shimon Lazar. So Reb Shimon Lazar says, why did they say that? In other words, we have a case where forbidden marriage is where she's entitled to a ksuba, and forbidden marriage is where she's not entitled to a ksuba. So if it's almana with a kohen gadol, a grusha with kohen head yot, so she gets the ksuba. If it's shniyot, she doesn't get the ksuba. So why one way, why one the other way? So he says, if they ma'amru, almana with kohen gadol, yishtu ksuba, so his answer, Rav Shimon Lazar's answer is, as a result of this marriage, everybody's going to be pasul. In other words, she's pasul, permanently tainted. She can never marry a Kohen. He, the Kohen, or the Kohen Gadol, as long as he's married to her, can't do a voda, and he can't do a voda until he divorces her and takes a netter, that he's not going to be involved with psulo. He says, wherever everybody's pasul, turn page on the top line of Pehema Beis, Pantua Toktuba, meaning there's already a built-in incentive to dissolve this marriage because things are going lousy for them. Because it's a matter of halacha, like you can't do the avod anymore, I'm psulut to Kohanim, there's like the seeds of dissension here. So under those circumstances, we don't have to add on to her side, so we'll penalize him that he has to pay the ksuba. That's his, on his account. Why do they say shniot midibrei sofrim? There is no ksuba. Neishu kasher v'yikshera. So with the shniot, they're both kasher. In other words, there's no, you know, halakhic taint that comes to either one of them as a result of the shniot. In other words, he married his grandmother or he married his son's daughter-in-law. So they're violating the rabbanon, but there's no taint on him, no taint on her. He says, and there's no taint on the offspring. So Rashi explains that in this case, they're going to penalize her. They're going to penalize her. Okay, let's look at the top line in Rashi. So he says, Klomar, lo kansua mishar kolanashim. In other words, in the first case, they're penalizing him that he has to pay the ksuba with the amana of the Kohen Gadol. Why did they penalize the second case by the Rabbanan? We want them to, you know, have an incentive to dissolve the marriage. The cave and glow to heavy like tuba mine, since she has no tuba from him, Shavkalev and Afka. She's gonna like split and go. Avalhaka Lotsara, the Mela Shavkalev, the cave and hub nifsal yada, yeshkatabinayim. It means in the first marriage, like the seeds of dissension are planted already from all the halakhic ramifications. So we're going to trust that that'll be enough to cause the marriage to, you know, go south. So he has to pay the ksuba. But with the shnia, so there's no halakhic taint to either one of them. It's like no harm, no foul from their perspective. They're violating the rabbana, but no harm, no foul. So in that case, we're going to create, you know, problems for her. And we're going to remove the right to the ksuba. So a little bit further in the Gemara, and then I'll pause in a minute, okay? So on the fourth line from the top. So that hesber was given by Reb Shimon Elazar. Okay, now, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says a different hesber. Rebbe says, halalu divrei Torah. The first one's almanah with kohen gadol and the grusha with the kohen head yod. That's a Torah prohibition. With divrei Torah in Srit and Chizuk, you don't need to strengthen Torah prohibitions. These people know it's prohibited on Torah level. So this is the halalu dibrei sofrim, but the second group, the shniot, are all rabbinic in nature. The dibrei sofrim shriyot and pizot. So we have to somewhat counterintuitively sometimes be more stringent with a rabbinic prohibition than a Torah prohibition. So that would be his reason why she doesn't forfeit the ketuba with the almana and with the grusha, but she does forfeit with the shniot. Then davar acher, then a different hesber, a third hesber is given in the brisa. And doesn't attribute it to any Tana, but we'll try in a minute to see who it is. The Baruch Eir, Zeu Mar Gilav, Zuhi Mar Gilato. That it depends who is like the mover and shaker behind this marriage. So the Gemara takes it, let me say it outside first, then we'll do it inside of Rashi. That if it's a Shnia, so there's no taint on either side. then we assume that she's the one who's moving forward with the marriage, because since she has no psul with her or her children, so the Gemara learns that more than the man wants to be married, the woman wants to be married. So we assume that she's the one who's pushing the marriage forward, and so we're going to penalize her. But with the almana, with the Kohen Gadol, and the grusha with the Kohen Hedyot, there is a taint that attaches to her, and a taint that attaches to her children. So she, or let's say it's mamzerus also, let's say a mamzer. So there, we assume she would not want to get into this marriage, and he's the one who must be pushing it. Let's take a look. So again, so davar ter zeh humar gilo. In other words, in the first case with the almana and the grusha, he's the one who's pushing it forward. But so therefore we punish him. He's got to pay the ksuba. But in the second case with the shnia, zuhimar gilat. So she's the one who's pushing it forward. Let's see the Rashi on this, and then we'll go forward a little bit. The first narrow line, he says zehumar gila almana l'koin gadol grusha kalutz l'koin hayod humar gila masi talin asevo. He tries to seduce her to marry him. She's not pasul, her progeny's not pasul, doesn't lose anything by intimate relations with him. So the Gemara says later on our Masechta that the woman wants to get married more than the woman. Okay? All right, let me pause for 1 second. Who's got questions, comments?
Yeah, and the case.
Okay, let me hear Fern. Go ahead, Fern.
In the case where she has to lose her ksuva, it seems more of a punishment for her to lose it than for him to have to pay it. And it took two to enter into this marriage, whether or not she pushed it forward. I find that extremely harsh. And if halacha more than she does in those days, for sure.
That's an assumption on your part. Anyway, but why do you assume the women don't know halacha? Anyway, now.
Because they were reading Sanhedrin.
Are you prejudiced against the women? Okay, now. Anyway, but the thing is, the point being, the question is, well, we're trying to understand the halacha. In other words, halacha is clearly that if it's an almana or a grusha with a kohen, she has the ksuba. And she doesn't have the ksuba. So that's the way Chazal created. So what's the reason for that? So it makes sense. Like the first reason we gave, we said that that it depends, you know.
And the shni is the derabana.
Yeah. So the first reason we said, Rav Shimon Elazar, he says, yeah. So, right. So like Yosef was saying, like when both sides are pasul, so we don't have to do anything to encourage divorce, like the seeds of dissension are planted already. Now we want to plant, in the case of Shani, we want to plant seeds of dissension. And that's one reason. So do you have a problem with that?
But I have a problem when she loses the ketubah,
she's doing something in violation of halacha, you know, so she's getting somewhat burnt, but she's the one who brought it on herself. And then the other hesber we said,
but he brought it on himself too, and he knows that if this goes south, he can just walk away.
Yeah, but we want it to go south, so we want to help it along. And then Rebbe said, it's nothing to do with that. It's whether it's Doraisa or Drabana, just the general klal.
Right,
Then we had the third hesber that who do we think was pushing forward the marriage more? The one who's pushing, this fits in maybe a little bit better with your type of thinking. The one who's pushing forward the marriage is the one we're going to penalize. Okay, I got to move on to the questions. Okay, who had another question? Daniel, Rafi, who? Say again, what?
Can you marry another Kohen Gadol?
Who?
What was it?
No, she can't. She can't marry any Kohen. Okay, now we're going to move forward in the Gemara. Okay, now, I'm running out of time, so please excuse me. When we take time for questions, we run out of time at the end. Okay, now. So now we're back in the Gemara. So we gave reason number one, Rav Shimon Elazar. Reason number two by Rebbe, and then we had Dabar Acher. Dabar Acher was who's the one who's pushing it forward. So the Gemara says Dabar Acher man Tani La. So which Tana is the one who's the author of Dabar Acher? So Ika the Amar Rav Shimon Elazar Katani La. So some want to say the Dabar Acher is working within the Tana Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar said about, you know, if everybody's psula, so then we don't need to push it forward. He says, the Amar, so he says, Umatam Kamar. So Shulazar, the flow would be, he's giving what reason? Why did they, in other words, he's adding on to his previous reason. Why did they say that when everybody's pasul from this marriage, that they're going to penalize the husband to pay the ktubah, because in that case, he was like the mover and shaker behind the marriage. That's what we think. And why, when everybody's kasher in the marriage, do they penalize her? Because she's the one who's like pushing it forward. That's one hesber. One second. Ika da amar, and then that's one. So one explanation is Davar Akar goes with Rav Shimon Lazar. Then Ika da amar, another hesber is Rebbe Tanila, that Ika da amar goes when the Shita Rebbe. Rebbe said Doraisa and Rabbanan. The Chalutza Kakashale. Rebbe was bothered by the case of Chalutza. So Chalutza, we're treating the same as a Grusha. So the Grusha is entitled to the Ksuba, but the Chalutza is only prohibited on the Rabbanan level. And Rebbe says that it's Talubian, whether it's Daraisa or Rabbanan. So Daraisa don't require Chizuk, so they get the Ksuba. The Rabbanan do require Chizuk, they don't get the Ksuba. That's what he said. But then that doesn't work so well with Chalutza, because Chalutza is a Drabanan. In other words, the fact that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalutza, that's a Din Drabanan. So it says the Chalutza Kakashalei, but Chalutza Drabanan, Vitlak Tuba. So how would Rebbe explain that? The Chalutza is Drabanan, but she has a Ksuba. So Hadra Amar, so then Rebbe is coming to explain, even the Pasilami Drabanan, since she becomes Psula on a Drabanan level, it means, let's say she was a Bat Kohen, and she became a chalutza, and then she married a kohen. So now she becomes pasul and rabbanan to ever eat truma. In other words, she's pasul and rabbanan. She can't go back. Her rights to truma are permanently terminated. In other words, she was a bat kohen. She was always used to eating truma, and then she was married to somebody and he died. Okay. Then she go back to eat truma, but then she went through chalitza, and then she married somebody as a chalutza. Then she went to somebody who was married somebody when she was a chalutza. So she married a kohen when she was a chalutza. So now she's passing rabbanon. So zehu margila, b'suzi margila to. So that's the idea that in this case. Because that he'd be the one who would be the husband, since the husband would be the one trying to induce her to marry him, because she has like a penalty attached with it. So he says, so he gets to pay the ksuba. In the other case is zui mar gilato. So again, the last case was the dabar achir was that who's the one who's pushing the marriage forward, the man or the woman. So the one who's pushing it forward is the one who gets financially penalized. So the second who came to saying that that's really within Rebbe, bothered by the case of Chalutza, why does the Chalutza get, treated like the Doraisa case? So the Chalutza gets treated like the Doraisa case because she becomes psula on a Drabanan level, she loses her right to the Truma. So that being the case, she would not want to marry a Kohen as a Chalutza because she knows like she's going to have problems with this. So he's the one, the Kohen, who's pushing it forward. So as a result of that, he has to pay the ksuba. Okay, let's keep moving forward in the Gemara. So on a Drabanan level, she would be On Drabanan, you don't become a Kalala. You don't become a Drabanan, a Kalala. Okay. So I have to look at that. I think so. Now, let's think back in the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, "Ma'ika bein Rebbe the Rebbe Shimon Elazar." So again, in the Braisa, now we're going to work with the first ukimta in the Braisa. The first ukimta was that the Dabar Acher is Rebbe Shimon Elazar is teaching it. In other words, why is it when he's pasul and she's psula that he gets penalized to pay the ksuba because he's the one who pushes it forward? And Rebbe holds Doraisa and Rabbanon. So what's the halakha ma'isa? What's the difference whether I say Rebbe's reason or Rebbe Shimon Elazar's reason? Rebbe says, if it's Doraisa, you had a ksuba. If it's Drabanan, you don't get a ksuba, basically. And Shmuel Lazar says, it's Taluyon, if everybody gets passeled in the marriage, so then we assume the husband is the one who pushed it forward, so he gets penalized to pay the ksuba. And if nobody's penalized in the marriage, then we assume she's pushing forward, so she gets penalized. So in the end of the day, it seems like the halakha would be the same. The Grusha and the Almana would get the Ksuba, and the Shnia would not get it. So we're going to have a number of candidates here. So Amar Rav Chisda, Mamzeret and Tali Yisrael, Ikabe Naif. So Nafkamina would be really the case of Mamzeret. If a Mamzeret marries a Yisrael, so obviously that's a forbidden marriage. It says, Mandamar Duraita and Ami Duraita. So Rebbe, who says, Talui, whether it's Duraita or Drabanan, so here it's Duraita. In other words, you have the Mamzeret, so violating a Torah prohibition, so she gets the Ksuba, the Pashut. He says, Mandamar Mneshi Margila, Ahi Margalale. So, but the one who says that it's Talui on who pushes this marriage forward, so the Mamzeret is already a Ksuba. The Mamzeret, in other words, she's not going to get messed up from the marriage because she's as messed up as she's going to be. So she, now the only thing is her children could be messed up because the children would be Mamzerim. So Rashi learns that this Hezber is going according to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, I could be Mentahir Mamzerim, that the Mamzer will have relations and, with the Shifta Kananit, and then they'll have children and they'll be Abadim, and the man so free the Abadim, they'll be free. So therefore, in this case, we think that based on the analysis, even though it's a Torah prohibition, that we would penalize her according to Rav Shimon Elazar. So that would be a nafkamina between the two of them. So this is Mandamar Shahimar Gilah, Hagimar Gilalai. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that doesn't work according to everybody. Urablezer, the Amar, Hareza, Ebru Mamzer, Lo Margilalai, Lo Midi. According to the Tan Rablezer, Rablezer disagrees with Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says there's a way for Mamzerim to get out of the mess and then to have relations with the Shifka Kanani. Reb Lezer says it doesn't do anything because the offspring will be Avadim and Mamzerim. So if that's the case, so she would not be the one encouraging such a marriage, and the Nafkamina goes out the door, because in that case, we would say that she would get the Ksuba even according to Reb Shimon Elazar. So we're looking again for a candidate for the Nafkamina between Reb Shimon Elazar and Rebbe. So Ella Amar of Yosei, Maxir Grushato is the way the back has it, and Mishni said he takes it out, Ikebenayu. So Maxir Grushato is if a person was married, then he divorced his wife, then she married somebody else, and then that marriage terminated, and then he remarries his wife. So Mandamar Duraita Nami Duraita. So the one who says, if it's a Torah prohibition, so you get the Ksuba, so it's a Torah prohibition, you get the Ksuba. The Mandamar Mnesha Humar Gila, Ahimar Gilale. He says, the one who says it depends on who's pushing forward the marriage. So in this case, we think that she would push forward the marriage. In other words, because there's no taint that would attach to her from being involved with the second marriage. She's already a grusha, and she's, you know, continuing to marry the next husband. So we think that she would push the marriage forward. So according to that side, then we penalize her. So the Gemara says, Ulu Rabbi Akiva, so that would work out as a nice nafkamina. But the Gemara says, Ulu Rabbi Akiva de Amar, Ishbam Zer Mechai Vilavin, Hello, Mark, Lele, Velomidi. But according to Rabbi Akiva, remember we learned this earlier in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva learns that if you violate a lav, at least one version of Rabbi Akiva, if you violate a lav, the offspring are Mamzerim, so indeed she would not want to push forward this marriage. So that wouldn't be a nafkamina. In other words, Maxir Grushato is a Torah prohibition. So the one who says Torah prohibition, so you get the Ksuba that way. The one who says it's Taluyan, who would be moving forward with this, so we think that since there's no taint on Matsu Grushato, so the woman would would be pushing it forward because there's no harm, no foul to her. But the Gemara says, but according to Rabbi Akiva, there would be harm foul because her children would be Mamzerim. So that also falls by the wayside. So Elamar Papa, so Papa is a different candidate. The Nafkamina would be, let's say, of a woman who was not married previously, but had a little bit of a colorful life, in other words, she had relations with a man, presumably a Yisrael kasher. In other words, she had a fling with a man who was Jewish, but she's not a betula anymore. So she's a be'ula. So as a be'ula, so the Kohen Gadol is under an admonition of an essay, just an essay. So mandamar deraita, nami deraita. So the one who says, if it's a Torah prohibition, she gets the ksuba. So it's a Torah prohibition, she would get the Ksuba. In other words, he's a Kohen Gadol, and he marries a Be'ula. So when he divorces her, does she get a Ksuba? Yes, she gets a Ksuba because it's a Torah prohibition. The one who says that he that she would encourage him. So she again has no, there's no fallout for her from encouraging this marriage. In other words, she's not an almana. So the only thing is she's an Easter essay. So as a result of encouraging this marriage, there's no taint that would attach to her and no taint that would attach to the children in this marriage. So she would be the one pushing it forward. So according to that side, we would penalize her. So the Gemara says, yeah, Rav Lezman Yaakov Domar Yishchalal Mechai V'Esei Lo Margle Lo Midi. But according to Rav Lezman Yaakov, he holds that even if the Kohen Gadol marries an Easter essay, the offspring would be a halal. Then she wouldn't want to be the one pushing it forward, according to her blazer. Again, if there's no harm, no foul for either one of the parties, and the children, this is pushing forward to it. So we think in this case, there's an Easter deraisa that cuts that she gets the tuba. But on the other hand, she'd be pushing forward, so it cuts that she doesn't get the tuba. So then we have an afkamina between the reasons. But the Gemara says, but according to her blazer and Yaakov, the offspring of such a union would be a halal. So then she wouldn't be pushing for it. So again, that's out by the wayside. So El Amar Ravashi, Matsir Safek Sotato, Ika Benayu. Ravashi says, the nafkamina would be, if you have a Safek Sota. Sota is a woman who we suspect of having an adulterous affair. So it means, and again, you remember this, the second Sota is coming up in another 6 months or so. So Rashi says Safek Sota, look in Rashi, Shekini law, in other words, he warned her. In other words, she shouldn't be alone with anybody, but he says, do me a favor, I don't want you, don't hang out with Reuben. He says, the Nistra, in other words, she shouldn't be alone with Reuben to begin with. But I'm warning you not to be alone with Reuben. I say it in front of Adam. And then Adam testified that she was alone with Reuben. So we suspect that they had an affair. He says, the Kaila be Surah Dorait, the Tibetan Mahash Nepam, the Kalabal, the Kalaboel. So at that point, he has to bring her to the Beis HaMikdash and to drink the Mesota. But at that point, they're both prohibited to having relations with each other because she's a Safek Sota. They can't have relations with each other. What do I skip? Oh, yeah. No, I didn't skip anything. No, I'm just talking. I didn't say it in the Gemara yet. Okay, so the Gemara says, so Max your Safek Sota, so again, with the Safek Sota, let's say he decides, let bygones be bygones. In other words, I forgive you. We have a romantic dinner, and let's move on. Exactly right. So now, in continuing, doesn't mean that they were divorced or anything, but in continuing this, so they're violating a din Torah, so that would cut that she does get the ksuba, then he divorces her, and she does get the ksuba. But on the other hand, Mandamar Duraita Nami Duraitas, that got that. Mandamar Mishumar Gila, but the one who says that when he pushes forward, he says, Ahi Margolai. In other words, the Mar takes it, in this case, he would be the one pushing forward with this. He says, in other words, there's no additional taint that accrues from them staying married together. In other words, they're over on love, but there's no taint that would attribute to her or the children of such a union.
She wants to be with it. And then wouldn't work if she wouldn't make him.
Well, so that's true. But so that just strengthens it. Yeah. In other words, Margolai, right. So then she should be penalized. So the verse says, Margolai ben Charish to Amar, Afilu Afala la Hashkota, Ubala Baderach Asa Zona, Halo Margolai of Lomidi. So, but the Gemara quotes an opinion. Ramak ibn Kharash says that the husband has relations with her, even on the way to the Beis HaMikdash, he turns her into a zona. So that, in other words, so then there would be a taint attributed to us. Then she wouldn't be pushing forward. In other words, now she gets the status of a zona. So as a zona, you know, she's prohibited on Kohenim, and that would be out. So Elamar Bar Barvashi, Sotavada Ikabenav. So Bar Barvashi says, the nafkamina would be, let's say she's a Sota Vadai, that she was Mizana. In other words, it could be that we have Adam that saw her, that she was Mizana, and nevertheless, that they want to be together. So if I say it's an Easter Doraisa, it's an Easter Doraisa, so she gets the Ksuba. But if I say that she wants to push it forward because there's no additional taint, so here she's already been adjudged to be a zona. In other words, she already is the Zona. In other words, she's already, in other words, Adam saw them together and behaving like Menachem. So she already is a Zona. Right. So she's
the one that's pushing forward.
Right, right. So then that would, okay, that would be the Nafkamina. Okay. Who's the questions, comes to us on anything we did so far? Okay, let's just do the next Mishnah, a little bit of the Gemara, and then that will be it for tonight. Okay? Let's look at the next Mishnah, three lines before it gets wide on Pehei Amud Beis, and we're getting very close, relatively speaking, to the state. Well, we're two-thirds through the Masechus, right? That's what I characterize. What? July 7th. But I'm saying if you have less than 40 dafim, to me that's pretty close. That's like a short Masechta. So it means
that
the end is in sight. Okay, so let's take a look at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Manitin. Now, again, these dinim we have, but the Mishnah, remember, Tosfos said at the beginning of the parak, the Tana here is giving you like short ways to remember everything. So we're teaching. So Manitin, Bat Yisrael, Mu Reset LeKohen. If you have a Bat Yisrael that's Mu Reset to a Kohen, there's going to be people who can't eat Truma. He says, and remember, we did this already. Remember the body shell, the rest of the coin, remember on it, the right side.
Right.
In other words, she is at home. In other words, but we pray that she's going to be the family members. Mu'uberet mi kohen. Or let's say he died or divorced her, but she's pregnant, and she's pregnant from a coin. So if she has children from the coin, like, she can eat the truma, but she's only mu'uberet. And we had already, the Gemara said, Uber b'yam v'erusin posam l'machilin. We had this earlier in the Gemara. So he says here, Shomer Yavam Lekohen, or husband number one was a Kohen, he died. And then the Yavam is also a Kohen, but he hasn't done Yibum yet. She's Shomer Yavam, Bechain Bak Kohen Lisrael, or a Bak Kohen who's, Erusin to Yisrael, Lo Tochal Betruma. So she can't, I didn't explain right the last thing here. The Bechain Bak Kohen Lisrael means all the cases could be a Bak Kohen for Yisrael. So it means, let's say you have a Bak Kohen that's Mu'resed to Yisrael, or Bat Kohen that's Mu'uberet Yisrael. In other words, let's say she was married to Yisrael, the marriage terminated, but she's pregnant, so she can't eat Truma. He says, and if she's a Bat Kohen and she's Shomeret Yavam to Yisrael, she can't eat Truma. Okay, now, Bat Yisrael Mu'uresed Lelevi, so a similar case with Levi. Bat Yisrael, it's with Erusim and the Levi, Umuberet and Levi, or she's impregnated by a Levi, Ushmer Yabam Levi, but talking about Levi Israel, also the reverse cases, Lo Tochal the Maaser, she can't eat the Maaser Sheni. The Gemara is going to ask, can anybody eat Maaser Sheni? I'm not Maaser Sheni, Maaser Rishon. Maaser Rishon is the tithe you give to Levium. So the Gemara says she can't eat it, but the Gemara is going to ask, can anybody eat Maaser Rishon? All right?
Only Levi eats it.
No, I'm saying you give it to Levi, but Los Truma can only eat by Kohen.
Right.
But Maaser Rishon, everybody can eat the Maaser Rishon. It's chaylik, but the Gemara says she can't eat it. So we'll see in a minute. So now, by Levi Mu'resed LeKohen, by Levi Mu'resed LeKohen, Mu'uberet MiKohen, Shemer Yabam LeKohen, B'chein by Kohen Levi, Lo Tochal Lo B'Truma Lo B'Maaser. She can't eat Truma, she can't eat Maaser. Now, the Gemara says in the second line from the bottom. Now we had that the Bat Yisrael that's Mu'resed LeLevi can't eat Maaser Rishon. Utei Zara. So let her be a non-Levi. Zara Milo Achla Maaser. Can a non-Levi eat Maaser Rishon? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Hamani Rav Meir, he Amar Maaser Rishon, Asur the Zarim. So Rav Nachman says, the name of Shmuel, that our Mishnah follows the Tana Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds that just like Maaser Rishon is equivalent to Truma. Just like Truma is only eaten by Konim, according to the Tana Rav Meir, Maaser Rishon is only eaten by Levium. So he says to Tani, we learned the Braisa, look on the top line on Pei Vav Amud Aleph. Truma the Kohen, the Maaser Rishon Levi, the Remeir. So Truma goes to the Kohen, Maaser Rishon Levi. So it's not explicit in the Braisa, but the Braisa seems to set up an equivalence between Truma and Maaser Rishon. Let's look at Rashi. Truma the Kohen, Natina Tam the Kohen, Maaser Rishon Levi, Kitani, Maaser Levi, doing Truma the Kohen. It was the both equivalent. Ma Truma, Hilataka, Natina Tam the Kohen. Just like Truma, the Natina and the Achil is done by the Kohen below the Tzar. Af Maaser Levi, Achil to Levi below the Tzar. And so also with the Maaser. Back in the Gemara, on the second line, Reb Lazar ben Azaria, Matiro the Kohen. Reb Lazar ben Azaria permits the Maaser Rishon to a Kohen. Wait. You're not muting yourself, my friend.
Okay.
All right. Now, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Azmar Zari Matiro Lakoin. So the Gemara says Matiro, Makladi Kamanda Asar. So the Gemara is going to say every Kohen is really part of Shevet Levi. Every Kohen is, you know, can eat whatever Levi can eat. So what do you mean, Matiro? Ela Ema, no af la Kohen. It means that Rav Lazman Azariah is saying that you could give the Master Rishon if you choose to a Kohen. So we'll see more of Mishnah Gemara about that, who you give the Master Rishon to. But every Kohen is a Levi, so, as well as being a Kohen.
Every Kohen could have a Levi.
Right. But no, he's saying even more. He's saying that the person in Israel who's giving the Master Rishon, I can give the master one-stop shopping. I'll just do it that way. Okay, it's 9:10. We have 60 seconds for questions. Don't leave yet. Okay, everybody, one time.